Okay, we're beginning here at the top of Yud Amud Aleph, the second line down. The Gemara here is discussing the statement that Levi made to Rabbi, which is that why are there only 15 mentioned in our Mishnah? There really is a 16th case that should have been mentioned in our Mishnah, which is Imo Anusat Aviv. How come that's not mentioned? Rabbi responded in a very strong manner and said, well, I can't believe that this guy is suggesting even there should be a 16th one. The Gemara wanted to know, why did Rabbi respond in such a strong manner? So the Gemara suggested that the reason he did that is because Bepluto lo Mairi, that our Mishnah is not dealing with Machloket. And Imo Anusat Aviv is a case of Machloket, it's a Machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And therefore, that's why it's absent from our Mishnah. And that should have been obvious to him that that was absent from the Mishnah. Gemara says, why is it so obvious? We found a number of cases where there is machloket in our Mishnah, including the case of Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, which is about whether Tzarat Ereva is Pturah, as well as the fact that we have the machloket between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim as to whether Yisurei Lav have a din of Ereva or don't have a din of Ereva. The Gemara each time rejected that explanation. But then we got to the latter part, which was Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says that there are two principles that apply to our Mishnah. Number one is that you have Yevamta, which is Achuta, two sisters. Now, they can be sisters either through the father or through the mother. It doesn't really matter. But two sisters can be in a position where they come into Yibum together at the same time with two brothers. And one is Muteret Lezeh, and one is Asura Lezeh, and Asura Lezeh, Muteret Lezeh. You have that phenomenon. So the Gemara then went through different Amoraim that are explaining that manifestation of those cases according to Rabbi Chia. And the Gemara went through each one of them. But the Gemara showed for certain is that when it comes to Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olam, there the only way to get Rabbi Chia's principles to work is according to Rabbi Shimon. Doesn't work according to the Chachamim, which would mean by definition, according to Rabbi Chia, our Mishnah is Sharui B'machloket, and our Mishnah is taking the position of Rabbi Shimon and not the Chachamim. For that reason, the Gemara concluded yesterday that Rabbi does not have these klale. Okay, that's Rabbi Chia's position. Rabbi Chia's position is that in all the cases in the Mishnah, you can come up with a case of two sisters who fall to Yibum, and one of them is a surah to one of the brothers, and one is a surah to the other brother, therefore they'll both perform Yibum. All those cases can work out. That's Rabbi Chia's position. Rabbi doesn't hold of that. And since Rabbi doesn't hold of that, he doesn't have this problem of forcing it to be that Eshet Achiv Shelo Be'olam is only according to Rabbi Shimon, because he doesn't have that overarching explanation that it makes the Mishnah or forces the Mishnah to be B'machloket. That was the conclusion yesterday. Now, on the second line, we say Rav Ada Karchina Kamei to Rav Kana Amar. So now we have a different approach and says, Mishmei Derova, Lo Lamitle the Rabbi Hani Klale. Maybe Rabbi does hold of this principle that was established by Rabbi Chia. V'hochi ka'amarle. So then why did he reject Levi so soundly? Why was he so upset that Levi had suggested Imo Anusat Aviv? Because Imo Anusat Aviv b'chada mishkachala, b'tarte lo mishkachala. Very simple. The principle of Rabbi Chia involves two parts, as we just said now. One is that the two Yevamot are sisters. And then, in addition to that, that the two brothers, each one of them can marry one of those two sisters, because one is Asura Lazeh, the other one's Asura Lazeh, and therefore the other one's Muteret, and they can marry the sisters. When it comes to Imo Anusat Aviv, you can only get one of those two principles to work. You can't get both of them to work. Yaakov bet achayot anas, because if the scenario is that Yaakov raped two sisters, that gets you the sister part of the equation, then you have a problem, because then you get the piece that is the two sisters, but the fact that one is mutar to one of the brothers and one is asur to the other brother, it never will happen. Because by definition, in each of the scenarios, it's either his mother, meaning that Anusat Aviv is either the mother of the individual, or in the other scenario, it's his mother's sister, Achotimo. Achotimo is also restricted. So even if Yaakov rapes two women, Levi and Yehuda are born out of these two rapes. Reuven and Shimon are sons of Yaakov through a different woman. But then Reuven marries one of the women, and Shimon marries the other woman, one of the two sisters. And then after they pass away, Reuben and Shimon pass away without children, now they fall to Yehuda and Levi to do Yibum. Problem is that one of the women to each of them is their mother, and the other woman is the sister of their mother. So they're restricted from forming Yibum to either of these women, and therefore doesn't work. So we got the two sisters part, but we didn't get the Surah Lezeh, Mutaret Lezeh, Mutaret Lezeh, Surah Lezeh. Vi Beit Nachriot Anas. If the scenario is that Yaakov rapes two women who have no relationship to each other, and we're talking about instead of being Rachel and Leah, all of a sudden it's Rachel and Noah. So now he rapes two women have no relationship whatsoever. Then Hasura Lezeh, Mutaret Lezeh, Mishkachala. Then you will find a scenario in which each one of them can marry the other, the one that's not their mother, they can marry because there's no relationship between them. But achotashi vamta lo mishkachala. The problem is that they're not sisters, which is the other requirement of Rabbi Chia. So why Rabbi rejected Levi so soundly is because in the case of Imo Anisat Aviv, you can never get to the scenario of Rabbi Chia. You can only find one of the two positions or one of two of the requirements that he lays out. Either the requirement of they be sisters, or the requirement that Azura Lezeh is Mutaret Lezeh. But you can't find both of them together. And that's why he soundly rejected Levi. Nothing to do with Machloket. And therefore, Rabbi could subscribe to Rabbi Chia's principles that he establishes. Rabashi Amar, the Olam Leitle, Rabbi Lahani Klale. Rabbi does not subscribe to the positions of Rabbi Chia or this what he superimposed on the Mishnah. Obeplukto Kamairi. And our Mishnah is dealing with Machloket. So again, why did Rabbi so soundly reject Levi? This is what he said to him. My time lo diakt matnitin. Why aren't you more careful about the midayek out of the Mishnah? The matnitin, Rabbi Yehuda. The author of our Mishnah is clearly Rabbi Yehuda. The asar ben usat aviv. The machlok between the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is whether anusat aviv is mutar to the son. The Chachamim say yes, Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says, you know what? Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. How does he know that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah? Diktani, Shesh Arayot Chamurot Mi'elo. There are six Arayot that are more Chamur than these. Mipnei Shein Nisuot Acherim Tzarutehem Mutarot. Because they can only marry outside parties, their Tzarutehem, their co-wives are Mutar. Imo. Veishet Aviv, Vachot Aviv. We only listed three out of the six. It's the upcoming Mishnah. In the upcoming Mishnah, you have a different scenario than our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, you have Arayot, which can apply to one of the brothers, but don't necessarily have to apply to all of the brothers. In that scenario, you can have a brother perform Yibum on one of these women, or at least the co-wife of one of these women, and then it will fall back to the original brother who has an Erva. In the scenario in the next Mishnah, the Arayot are so close that one of the brothers is Asur, then all the brothers are Asur. By definition, since they share a common father, by definition, they're also going to be Asurim. So for instance, Eshet Aviv, his father's wife. Now his father's wife, no matter which one of the children you're talking about, is going to be restricted because they're all brothers through the father. The father's wife is going to be restricted to any one of the brothers. So therefore, there's no scenario in which a brother could pass away. And then another brother performs Yibum, and then it falls back to one of the brothers that has a problem of Arayot. That scenario cannot exist with these six Arayot because they are too close. The Arayot too close to the father that they affect all the brothers. Now, in that list we have, and here it lists the first three of them, Imo, his mother, Ve'eshet Aviv, and his father's wife, Vachot Aviv, and his father's sister, Mai Imo. When the Mishnah mentions his mother, isn't his mother subsumed under the category of Eshet Aviv? Why is Imo different than Eshet Aviv? His father's wife is also, could be his mother. Doesn't have to be his mother, but it could be his mother. His mother is Eshet Aviv. So the Gemara says, Ilei menisuat Aviv. If you want to say Imo refers to his father's married wife, then Hainu Eshet Aviv. By definition, that is Eshet Aviv. So that, if that's the scenario, you've created a duplication in the Mishnah, which is Eshet Aviv and Imo. Again, Imo doesn't always have to be Eshet Aviv, and Eshet Aviv doesn't always have to be Imo. But if Imo is married to his father, then by definition she is Eshet Aviv. If that's the case, what is the case of Imo in the Mishnah? El Alav Anusat Aviv. It must be the case of Imo in the Mishnah is a case that it is his father's rape victim. So his father's rape victim is his mother, V'ikvatani mipnei shehen nisuot la'achirim, because they are married to others. U'la'achirim in la'achim lo. They can only marry outside parties. They cannot marry the brothers. Man shmait le'dit le'hai svara. Who is the one who already established for us this principle that anusat aviv is disqualified for the children? That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. The Chachamim say anusat aviv is mutar to the children. The only one who says that the children are disqualified from anusat aviv is Rabbi Yehuda, the asar banusat aviv, because he restricts the rape victim his father. So mishum alchi lo tani le. So he says, Levi, you weren't so careful. If you were more careful, you would have seen from the next Mishnah, which, again, is all part of this first Mishnah, the next Mishnah mentions six arayot. Amongst those arayot is Imo, but that is also right next to Eshet Aviv. Imo, how is Imo distinct from Eshet Aviv? Must be we're talking about Anusat Imo, Anusat Aviv. Anusat Aviv is restricted to the children only according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to the Chachamim. That means that the latter half of the Mishnah is clearly authored by Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, in the first half of Mishnah, then the case of Imo Anusat Aviv cannot be manifest, because that means that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda says in that case all the brothers are restricted. According to the Chachamim, you could have a manifestation of that, but not according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he so soundly rejected Levi, because Levi's trying to put in the Mishnah a case which can't fit with the authorship of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Samalei Ravino, the Ravashi, the Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Mishkachala. Wait a minute. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't have a case of Anusat Aviv that will be or will result in one of these women falling to a brother, which is the Avar V'Nasiv. If he goes ahead and he violates the restriction against marrying such a woman, one of the children marries Anusat Aviv, despite the fact that he is restricted. So the Gemara has an easy answer for that. What would Rav Ashi say? De'i loktani. Our Mishnah is not dealing with scenarios in which a person oversteps the bounds, goes ahead and violates an Isur, and marries the woman. That's not the scenarios in our Mishnah, all scenarios where the marriage was fine, where the marriage was permitted. And since it was permitted, then we have to deal with all the ramifications of that permitted marriage. We are not entertaining over here, he married Anusat Aviv, despite the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says it is Asur. So that's not the cases that we're dealing with. So, Amalei Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana, Blo De'i, Nami Mishkachada. Forget that. Even without saying this scenario of, oh, if he did marry her in the end, I have a way of him manifesting this in the Mishnah. Yaakov anas kalato. Yaakov goes ahead and rapes his daughter-in-law. Behold, he made me mena ben. And he has a child from her. Umeit Ruvain. Ruvain is his son who's married to this daughter-in-law. Below banim. Without any children. Benafla la kamei bra. Now this woman will be available for Yibum to her son. Here Yaakov has a child named Ruvain. Ruvain marries a young woman named Rachel. Then Yaakov rapes Rachel and produces a child, Yosef, through that illicit relationship. Yosef now is technically a brother to Ruvain. They share a common father. Therefore, they are brothers through the father. All of a sudden, Ruvain passes away and has no children. His wife has a child through his father, but he himself has no child. So now his wife, Rachel, is available for Yibum. Who's his brother from the father? That's Yosef. But Yosef also happens to be the son of Rachel. So in that scenario, he has his mother, Anusat Aviv, now available for Yibum. So when it says, Umigo dihi asira, tzarata nami asira. And the fact that she is asura to the son will also preclude her Tzara will also preclude her co-wife from performing Yibum. Samalei, wait a minute. Be'achvato de'hetera kamari. Be'achvato de'isura lo kamari. It's very simple. Our Mishnah is not dealing with cases of if so, and it's not dealing with cases of illicit relations or illicit relationships. We're not talking about a case where a father slept with his daughter-in-law in order to create a scenario that would fit into the Mishnah. So that's how we answer all of these possibilities. You're right. You could create a case of Imo Anusat Aviv, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, where somebody violates an Isur and generates that problem. So now either if the child married that Anusat Aviv, or even in a scenario where the son is a product of a rape of the father, but raped his daughter-in-law. So it was not only just a problem of rape, it was a problem of arayot also. And in that scenario, he won't perform Yibum.
Did they just go around raping people all the time?
No, but the Gemara always wants to test the limits of the scenarios. I mean, that's how the Gemara works. The Gemara is not necessarily bringing practical cases where it always happened. The Gemara wants to test the limits of the scenarios, and it tests the limits of the scenarios by taking unusual cases and trying to find how far they can push the issue. Vafal Pikein, and despite the fact that Rabbi rejected Levi so soundly, Bodko Levi be Matnitin. He amended his Mishnah. Levi amended his Mishnah and entered a 16th entry, Imo Anusat Aviv. The Tani Levi, because we have a Mishnah from Levi, that is, Pa'amim Poteret Sarata, U'Pa'amim Einet Poteret Sarata. There's sometimes that Imo Anusat Aviv does protect the co-wife, and there's sometimes where it does not protect the co-wife. Ketzad, Haita Imo Nisuat Aviv. So if his mother was married to his father, and then afterwards marries his brother through the father, and then he dies, Zohi imo she'enu poteret sarata. This is a mother that does not get rid of the problems. Now, why is that? Because there was an illegal relationship over here. When it says here that his brother married imo eshet aviv, that is an illegal marriage. He can't marry Eshet Aviv. So since he can't marry Eshet Aviv, then that marriage was never Tofes. So since that marriage was never Tofes, then the Erva is not really married to this brother. She's not really married to this brother. She won't protect, if this brother dies without children, she won't protect the co-wife who is legally married to the brother. And therefore, he will perform Yibum with the co-wife because the co-wife is not afforded any protection from the Erva. Because the Erva is not really married to this brother. It was an illegal marriage. Illegal marriages don't count. They don't count. There's Kedushim Einun Tofsim. Kedushim doesn't go through. And he has basically a woman who he is illicitly married to, illegally married to. But halachically he's not married to her because halacha does not recognize such a marriage. And he has another woman who he is married to legally. The only marriage that will be viewed in halacha as being binding is the one that is legal. And therefore, when he dies without children, only the legal wife is available for Yibum. And that legal wife is not an Erva. So even though she's a co-wife to an Erva, nevertheless, she will fall for Yibum, and she will have Yibum performed because the other wife or the other co-wife is not really a wife, halachically. So that's the one scenario. But there is also another scenario. Haidaimo anusat aviv, v'niseit achiv. In a scenario where it's not eshet aviv. He is a child or product of anusat aviv. His woman that his father raped, the son or the product of that rape. And then, v'nisei d'achiv me'aviv, his brother, through the father, married such a woman, which, again, would be permissible, since this, number one, is not his father's wife. Number two is this according to the chachamim, who say that anusat aviv is permitted. So the brother goes ahead and marries her. Umeit, and then he dies. Zoimo shepoteret sarata. In that case, there was a legal marriage. There was a legal marriage because the brother was permitted. The brother who is a product of another marriage to the father is allowed to marry Anusat Aviv. And in marrying Anusat Aviv and then dying without children, now Anusat Aviv falls to his brother. But for his brother, this is his mother. And so since it's his mother exempted because of Erva, and the co-wives would also be exempted because they are co-wives of an Erva. But you see here that Levi included that case in his Mishnah. The fact that Levi included that case in his Mishnah indicates that Levi, despite being chastised by Rabbi, included it in his Mishnah. Va'afal pi sheshanu chachamim b'mishnatenu, and even though the chachamim in our Mishnah said chamesh esrei, yesh lanu leosif shesh esrei kegazon zu. And that's what Levi says. Even though our chachamim or the Mishnah says 15, I really think there should be 16, and he amended his Mishnah to read 16 and added in Imo Anusat Aviv. So Amarle Reish Lokish the Rabbi Yochanan, Le Levi. According to Levi's position, Damar, De'i, Namik Tani. So if he says that in a scenario like this, we would have included it, I mean in a case where if it happens like this, we would have written it, Litnei Acholeitz Li'ivam Bamto, V'chazar V'kidsha. Why does he include in our Mishnah case where one of the brothers performed chalitza with this woman, and then decides to go ahead and marry her, umeit below banim, and then he dies without any children. Demigo dehi asura, tsarata nami asura. So just like she is asur, so too her co-wife should be exempted. Now, let's work through this. This is something we mentioned in the introduction to the Masechta, that once someone has performed chalitza on a woman, they may no longer go and perform yibum after that fact. That is because it says, Beit Achiv, Shaloi Baneh Beit Achiv. Once he has not been boneh, once he has not built Beit Achiv, Shuv lo yibaneh. He may not in the future go and build it. You got one chance to perform yibum. If you don't opt in to perform yibum, that chance, it's out. There is no yibum in the future.
The reason why, because of the pasuk Shaloi
Yibaneh. Ah, so very good.
Because of Eshet Achiv.
Very good. So David asks a very good question. What is the restriction against marrying this woman? It seems that the restriction here against marrying this woman is not Eshet Ach, but rather the pasuk of Shelo Bana Beit Achiv is Shuv Lo Yibaneh. If he didn't build his brother's house, he may not build it in the future, which makes it only an Isur Lav or an Isur Asay. That means that if it's only an Isur Lav or Isur Asay, Kiddushin are Tovsin. The marriage takes hold because this is not an Isur Karet or Isur Skila. Therefore, the marriage takes hold. Even though it's an illegal marriage, it will take hold. So what happened in this scenario is, we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Reuven passes away without having any children. His wife now falls to the brothers in order to perform Yibum. And sure enough, Shimon goes ahead and performs Chalitza with this woman and rejects the possibility of performing Yibum. Then, after that point, he decides to marry her. Now, the marriage is illegal because of Shuv Lo Yibaneh, but nevertheless, despite that fact, the marriage is tofes, it takes hold. And it's a, we'll call it, it's a marriage, although it's an illegal marriage. The marriage takes hold halachically, even though it's improper marriage. So now he's married to this woman. Then, after that fact, he passes away as well. And when he passes away, then there's Levi, who is available to perform Yibum. Now, Levi is also restricted to this woman, but he might have a different restriction. Levi might be restricted over here, not because of Shuv Lo Yibaneh, but rather because she's Eshet Ach. He wasn't involved in the original Yibum and Chalitza scenario. He was a sidebar. You know, he was there, he was alive, but Shimon acted. He didn't act. Therefore, for Levi, she might remain Eshet Ach. If that's the case, then when she falls to Levi, that's an erva. And if Shimon had other wives, that's Sorota Erva. And therefore, they will be Turim from performing Yibum. Levi will be Patur from performing Yibum, both with this woman, Reuven's original wife, as well as with the co-wives of Shimon. Samalei, Lefi, Sheina, Bitzarat, Tzara. He says, I'll tell you why. Because there's no Tzarat, Tzara over here. That's because all the scenarios in our Mishnah involve a case where one of the brothers could marry this woman. And then after he marries this woman, then he could fall to another one of the brothers. So here is a case where not all the brothers have the same scenario or same restriction with this woman. And therefore, you can have this scenario where each one of the brothers marries someone and then it continues to fall through until it hits the person that has the problem with this wife or this woman, which is an erva. But in a scenario where none of the brothers can marry this woman, then you can't create a case of tzarat tzara. Over here, the only one who can marry this woman is Shimon, who performed chalitza with her, and therefore he can do this with an Isur Lav and create Kiddushin. But all the other brothers are equally problematic. None of them, one of them isn't any better than the other. Since they're all brothers through the father, all the brothers are equally restricted against marrying this woman. That means that there's no continuation of this scenario. This scenario ends at Levi. It's never going to go beyond Levi. If that's the case, you can't have a case of Tzarat Tzarata, where a co-wife marries another brother, and then that co-wife or that co-wife is also restricted. You'll never have that scenario because there's no more than one brother that can marry over here. So Gemara says, "V'leimalei chay v'lavini v'chay v'lavin b'nei chalitza v'yibum ninu." Wait a minute. Why doesn't he just say that it's a chay v'lavin? It's only a lav. Now, this is what Yechiel was asking. Maybe over here, the restriction of the lav applies to all the brothers. I mean, that the other brothers are not subject to Eshet Ach. They're only subject to the same problem of Shuv Lo Yibaneh. If that's the case, the other brothers could also perform Yibum here, technically, because there's an Isur Lav that stops them, so they have to do Chalitza, not Yibum. And that means that then it's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a case where the Arayot are make you Patur Legamre. This is not a case where it makes you Patur Legamre, because you have to do Chalitza, not Yibum. So Gemara says, L'dvarav ka'amarle. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, according to your position, Reish Lakish, I'm answering you. My position is completely different. They're only chayev elav in here, and therefore there is the ability to perform yibum over here, and you do not poter the erva, and you're not poter the etzara. Elo l'didach. You, Reish Lakish, you think they're chayev kretu, ninhu. You think they are chayev karet, l'fisha enam b'tzara tzara. The reason it's not included in our Mishnah is because there's no continuation over here. It can only be the first brother that is it, and no one else. Now let's explain this. Itmar. Here is the machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Acholetz l'yivam to'o. Someone performs chalitza with the yivama. V'chazar v'kitcha. And then he goes and marries afterward, illegally. Marries her. It's an improper marriage, but it will take hold because it's only an Isur Lav. Amar Reish Lakish. Hu enu chayav ala chalutza karet. He is not chayav on the chalutza karet, because he's only governed by the restriction of shuv lo yibaneh. So he is not chayav karet, therefore he can marry this woman. It will take hold, even though it's improper. V'achin chayavin ala chalutza karet. The other brothers remain in an isur of eshet ach, because they didn't engage with this woman. Since they didn't engage in this woman, they remain restricted to the other, to this woman through a problem of eshet ach, which is a chiyuv karet. First brother that she was married to creates an eshet ach problem, which is never released from them, and therefore they remain always restricted in these women. Ala tzara, ben hu, u ben achayim, chayivim ala tzara karet. Whether it's he or any of the other brothers, the co-wife of this woman who he performed chalitza with is restricted because of eshet ach. Because he chose one of the women to perform chalitza with, the other woman remains a problem of eshet ach from the first brother. So when the first brother dies, all the other brothers are restricted in eshet ach. The co-wife with whom chalitza was not performed also is restricted in karet. The only one who doesn't have a chiyuv karet over here is the woman who he performed chalitza with the brother who performed chalitza. That's Reish Lakish's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ben hu, ben achim, inen chayavin, lo ala chalutza karet, velo atzara karet. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Once you have created chalitza here, even if one of the brothers did it to one of the co-wives, it affects everyone. All the brothers now are only restricted in shuv liyibaneh, and so the two with the co-wife. There's only a problem of beit achiv, velo batei achiv. One bayit and not multiple batim. My time at the Reish Lakish. What's Reish Lakish's opinion? I'm a kra. Asher lo yivne, he will not build. Kevin shelo bana, shuv lo yibaneh. Since he didn't build his brother's house, he may not build it in the future. Right? The pasuk says asher lo yivne et beit achiv. That's the pasuk. Then the Gemara dashes out of that. Kevin shelo bana, shuv lo yibaneh. Since he didn't do it now, he may not build it in the future. Ihu dekai ba lo yivneh. He's the one who has the restriction of not building it because he performed chalitza of alechav to kaimi kaimi. His brothers who did nothing here, they are in their original position, which means they remain under the restriction of eshedach. Baladidahu dekai. And it's also only on her, the woman who he performed chalitza with. Below yibaneh. She is restricted about be rebuilt with. Hatzarake de kaimi kaimi. The co-wife is still left in eshedach. She's still left in the world of eshedach. The way Reish Lakish looks at it, it's only the woman and the brother who engaged in this process that are governed by shuv lo yibaneh, which means it's only the brother who performed chalitza and with the woman he performed chalitza with that are under shuv lo yibaneh. Everybody else is still under eshedach. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, mi ika mide demi kara ibai hai chalitz, vi bai hai chalitz, vi bai lahai chalitz, vi bai lahai chalitz. I mean that it's talking both about the brothers and the co-wives. The brothers originally all had the option to perform Yibum. One of them took up the option, but they all had the option. With the co-wives, you couldn't perform Yibum with either of the co-wives, but you chose one of them. So he says, I don't understand. Originally, everybody's in the party. Any one of the brothers could have been the brother that performed Yibum. The co-wives, any one of them could have been the Yivama. So Bikara, all the restrictions are dropped. V'hashta kayilah b'karet, and then all of a sudden, once we determine which brother it is and which wife it is, they all go back to being a chiyuv karet. How could it be that they were released from karet and then all of a sudden they're put back into the world of karet? Ella ihu shlichuta da'achim kavid. One brother who acts on behalf of all the brothers. He is the shliach. He's the agent of all the brothers. Even though he's the only one who performed chalitza here, he performed chalitza not only for himself but for all the brothers collectively. And same is true with the woman with whom he performs Yibum, or he performs Chalitza with. She represents all the wives of that deceased brother. So she's acting on behalf of all the wives. If she accepts Chalitza, then all the women are now as if they participated in the chalitza. If she performs yibum, she acts on behalf of all those co-wives as if the yibum was accomplished. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says the karet is released from everyone because they're all represented in this chalitza. That means that the only restriction left to everyone, that includes both, that's all the brothers and all the co-wives, is simply shuv lo yibanet. That's the only restriction that applies to everybody, because the two that acted, the two agents that acted here, acted on behalf of everybody. And therefore, everybody just remains under the same restriction as the agent, which is shuv lo yibanet, karet drops away over here. Eitve, Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges the position of Reish Lakish over here. Hacholetz leivimto. Someone who performs chalitza with his yavama, v'chazar v'kidsha, and he goes in and marries her, umeit, and then he dies. Tzricha chalitza min achim. She requires chalitza from the other brothers. Bishlom aladidi, according to me, da mina chayvi lavininu, for the other brothers, she's only restricted in shuv lo yibaneh, hainu de tzricha chalitza min achim. That's why she needs chalitza from the other brothers, because the other brothers don't have a restriction of karet here, which would make her automatically out. They only have a restriction of shuv lo yibaneh, similar to the brother who married her improperly, overriding that shuv lo yibaneh. Nevertheless, when he dies and leaves that woman for his brothers, they are only restricted in shuv lo yibaneh, which means al iser lav. So therefore you have to do chalitza, no yibum. Elo ledidach, according to you, Reish Lakish, amai tzricha chalitza? Why do you need chalitza at all? According to you, they are restricted in a chiyuv karet. They're isherach. They don't need chalitza. It's zero. It goes away without anything. There's no possibility of yibum over here. It should drop without any chalitza. Ulatameich. So Reish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yochanan, according to your reasoning, it's so simple. Ema seifa. What about the latter half of this braita? Amad achad min achim v'kidsha. If one of the brothers goes ahead and marries her, not the brother who performed chalitza, but one of the other brothers, ein la alav klum. She has nothing on him. V'chayve lavin inhu, amai ein la alav klum. If they are really chayve lavin, then the kiddushin should have been toe-faced. If the kiddushin was toe-faced, then she does have something from this brother. It's a zero. There's no marriage here. There's no wife here. That will only work according to Reish Lakish, who says that it's eshrach is the problem. So therefore, it's marrying a chiyuv karet, one of the arayot, and that doesn't work. So that's why, according to Reish Lakish, the second half of the braita makes a lot of sense. Why, if the one of the brothers who did not perform chalitza goes ahead and tries to marry her, is it a zero? Because it's a problem of eshrach. It's a problem of chiyuv karet. Yeah, you have a stira. Yeah, correct. So that's what. But that's helpful for Reish Lakish, because once you have a stira between the Reish and the Seifa, you can say this is not a good braita. If it's not a good braita, it's not a question on me. Because the braita is equally a question on your position as it is on me. So that's how Reish Lakish can remove the question from himself. So that's an in-law clue. So if that's the case, then Reish Lakish says, the latter half of the Mishnah is clearly talking about a case where the other brothers are restricted by Eshadach. That means that Rabbi Yochanan in the second half of the braita does not work for you. Well, the first half doesn't work for me, second half doesn't work for you, then this braita is no proof to either our positions. Probably there's a problem in the braita itself. There's a steer in the braita itself. Amar Rav Sheshet, Seifa Atan the Rabbi Akiva. No, the latter half of the braita is according to Rabbi Akiva. Damar Ein Kiddushin Tosim B'Chayvi Lavin. That's why. The latter half of the mission, why does it not work? Because this is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who's a position that when there's an Iser Lav involved, then all of them are restricted. So the second half of the mission, similar to what David was suggesting, the authorship of the second half of the mission is Rabbi Akiva. The first half of the Mishnah, Braita, is the Rabbanon. The second half is Rabbi Akiva. And I solved my problem. The first half, why do other brothers have to perform Chalitza? Because only an Iser Lav. And an Iser Lav is, according to the Chachamim, you need Chalitza, not Yibum. That works according to Rabbi Yochanan. The second half of the braita, it doesn't work at all. Even though it's a chayvi lavin, that's according to Rabbi Akiva, who says chayvi lavin are the equivalent of arayot, and therefore you don't need anything. So I can split the authorship of braita, and it can still work according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's not true for Reish Lakish. So v'litnei l'divrei Rabbi Akiva, ein lo alav klum. So if that's the case, the Mishnah should have specified that and said, according to Rabbi Akiva, ein lo alav klum. That only according to Rabbi Akiva does it not have it? Kasha. The Gemara leaves that as a kasha, leaves that as a problem. It is an interesting solution. You're right. It's an interesting solution to the Braita to say that Rabbi Akiva is the author of the second half and then it will work according to Rabbi Yochanan. But it's not such a great answer because if the first half of the Braita is talking the position or authored by the Rabbanan, then in the second half, when you switch authorship, the Braita should have indicated the switch in authorship. But it said, Lidivrei Rabbi Akiva, Ein La Alav Klum. Should have specified that this is only according to Rabbi Akiva, that there is no Kiddushin Tov Sin. But according to the Chachamim, it would be Tofes. The fact that the Braita does not indicate that, that diminishes this answer as being a great answer for Rabbi Yochanan. So in the end, you would have to say that, okay, for Reish Lakish, the Braita is clearly a problem. For Rabbi Yochanan, we can come up with a solution. But even that solution is not a perfect solution, because the Braita should have given an attribution in the second half to Rabbi Akiva, which it doesn't do. Okay, we'll stop over here on the top line of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph.